This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Breaking news, another goal for the Florida Panthers. Matthew Tkachuk this time, Panthers 2, Oilers 0, and end of the first period in South Florida. Will Hill, looks like we're getting closer to having a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. Oilers digging a hole again tonight, 2-0 here at the end of the first. A live number at DraftKings is Panthers minus 850. Oilers plus 520 if you think they can make another improbable comeback similar to game four. Or you could take the Oilers plus 2.5 goals at minus 110. Total still at 6.5. Will Hill, it's not looking good for Edmonton.
It's not. I don't know much about the Edmonton coach, but maybe a coaching upgrade. Maybe somebody like Aaron Boone could solve their problems, get him out of the Yankees dugout and put him on the put him behind the bench here. No, it's disappointing. I wanted a game seven. I wanted a competitive game tonight. And who knows? It's only two goals. Maybe we'll see one, but certainly not looking like that. And all the signs were there. We talked to Chuck Esposito, Chris the Bear Felica. You agreed with them. This had all the makings of Florida. Florida was up 3-2. Their two losses were games where they were up 3-0 and 3-1. So Edmonton has not had many moments here where they've looked like the better team. Florida's looked like the better team throughout, and they look like the better team tonight, looking to go back-to-back here.
Yeah, it's you got to wonder what changes for Edmonton in the offseason if you lose the Stanley Cup final back-to-back years. Now, you're losing to a really good Florida team once in seven games, and if it happens tonight in six, it's not like a disgrace or anything like that. But, well, to me, the biggest problem here is when it's 2-2 in the series and you're going home in game five in Edmonton and your team's flat and you lose 5-2. That's inexcusable. And, I think at some point heads have got to roll. Whether it's going to be the coach or who. I mean, you're not going to – you probably got to upgrade a goalie, and you probably have to upgrade a coach, right? And here's the deal. Going into tonight, I mentioned it several times. I thought it was a very bad sign that in Stanley Cup Final Game 6, you didn't know who your goalie should be. Is it going to be Stuart Skinner, Calvin Pickard? You pick Skinner, he gives up two goals in the first period. Will, they flipped a coin and picked the wrong goalie, it appears.
That they did. So you and I will have plenty of time here this summer to go over the Edmonton Oilers offseason. I'm sure you'll have extensive notes. Your free agent board, who should they get?
I can tell you right now that they have to go over. They have to go after a new goalie. So they need a major goaltending upgrade, and they got to improve their defense. Right when you watch this series, it's obvious that Florida is such a better defensive team with a better goalie. And if you want to win the Cup and not burn Connor McDavid's career the way the Yankees are burning Aaron Judge's career, you've got to upgrade the defense. You got to upgrade the goaltender if you're going to get back and win it. I think it might be that simple, Will, because they're not that far away, right? It might be just the coach and the goalie what you have to change.
Yeah, and Florida, give them credit. I mean, they've got some nasty guy. I mean, they play with an edge. They play with intensity. Mm-hmm. They've got that championship DNA. That you hear that expression all the time. Sometimes that's an overused cliche, but I think you see it with Florida. Do you know offhand what their number was coming into the playoffs to repeat and win the Stanley Cup?
Somewhere around 10-1. Does that sound about right?
Okay, yeah, it sounds about right. I figure.
I bet at one point the season I made a small bet on the Vegas Golden Knights at 12-1. There's a bunch of teams, several teams bunched into that area between 6-1 and 15-1. Florida Panthers have been around there the whole time. Third straight year they've been in the Stanley Cup final. Lost to the Vegas Golden Knights in five games, and they were blown out in that fifth game in Vegas a couple of years ago. 2023. Yep. Last year took the Oilers out in seven games, and right now on the verge of taking the Oilers out in six. 2-0 into the first. Again, the live number at DraftKings, Panthers minus 850, Oilers plus 520, and the total still very much up in the air. Total of 6.5, shaded under minus 130 right now. First intermission, 2-0 Florida over Edmonton. All right, let's go to baseball. We got two goals for the Panthers. Got 9 runs for the Rockies. Will, still got 0 10. For the Yankees.
Rockies showing off here. Another home run. They got a man on base. So the Rockies are up 10-1. So if you lay the 8.5 runs with the Rockies on the alternate line or something, you're looking at a pretty nice payout. They lead 10-1. But Yankees still struggling. Now trail 4-0. Angels, I would imagine, would go to the bullpen. Hendricks was up around 100 pitches. I know he's pitching a shutout, but these guys just don't go more than 100 pitches these days. Ron Washington, the Angels manager, more of an old school guy, so maybe they give him a batter here in the seventh, but I'd imagine the Angels bullpen, which is not great, comes on to try to get the final nine outs. We'll see if the Yankees can get something going, but boy, what a wicked slump this has been for the Yankees. If you're going to pay money to see these Yankee games, you're wondering what the hell you spend your money on, because the Yankees just played terrible here the last 4 or 5 days.
I feel like I'm wasting a lot of time watching the Yankees on TV. Yeah. I can't bear to watch this team anymore. All right. What I am looking forward to watching is NBA Finals Game 6 on Thursday night. Will, you and I will be here for all of it. The live betting broadcast. We'll see if the Thunder can close it out or if the Pacers can stay alive. We had some breaking news today from Sham Sharania of ESPN. Put it out there. It's not shocking, and actually not sure how much you want to read into it. I'm not going to read a whole lot into it. I think it's more of an excuse than anything. Sham's report is Pacers star point guard Tyrese Haliburton believed to have suffered a strained right calf and will undergo an MRI to determine the severity of the strain, sources tell ESPN. Well, I'm not going to give Haliburton the injury alibi here. I hate excuses when a guy's playing poorly. Tell me why he ran up and down the court for 34 minutes last night if he's got a strained calf and a bad ankle. How do you play him 34 minutes? First of all, he was killing the team when he was out there. He's 0 for 6. He had 3 turnovers, 4 total points in the game, all 4 free throws. How does Rick Carlisle leave him out there for 34 minutes when he's not really helping the team? Let's hear from Rick Carlisle first.
He's not 100%. It's pretty clear. But I don't think he's going to miss the next game. And, you know, we were concerned at halftime, and he insisted on playing. And I thought he made a lot of really good things happen in the second half, but he's not 100%, you know, and there's a lot of guys in this series that aren't. So
that's it. Okay. Just shrugged a couple times at the end. Nothing else to say. Hey, look, I'm not 100%. Well, you're not 100%. The very few players in a series are 100% right now at the end of a long NBA season. I feel like this is an excuse for Haliburton. He was in the starting lineup. He played 34 minutes. He went 0 for 6. And all of a sudden we're talking about, oh, he's got a strained calf. What do you think here?
Boy, watching the Reds-Twins game, ball off the glove just of the Reds outfielder goes over the fence for a homer. That's just brutal here for the Reds.
Well, we're talking about the NBA. Okay. We'll just stop with the Reds game. Okay.
It's a tough conversation to have with Haliburton because he's been such a dominant, you know, postseason player, maybe dominant strong, but so many clutch shots, just clutch shot after clutch shot, the Bucks series, the Knicks game, the Knicks series, you had a game winner in game one of the NBA finals. So you can't crush him too much. But that being said, you can't give him a pass. I mean, we're talking about NBA Finals, Game 5, 2 games each, and Haliburton comes out and goes 0 for 6 with 4 points. I mean, that's about as bad a finals as you can get. He was terrible on defense. So, you can't give him a pass either. And it's really hard to see a path for them to win this series, you know, with or without a healthy Haliburton. That being said, I can't lay the 6.5 here with the Thunder. In a game number 6, it's just the Pacers, they've been too good at home, their depth, their coaching. I do think the 6.5 is probably, you know, taken. It's probably the right play here, but it feels like the Pacers blew their opportunity in game 4 to really have a chance to win this series.
Yeah. I said that last night when I was talking with Wes Reynolds was on the show, and I said, I felt like the Pacers blew it Friday night in game 4. And Wes said, well, they blew the game, but not the series. I felt like they blew the series. Friday night, you go up 3-1, you blow that, you go back to OKC. I felt like the Pacers blew the series in game 4. They stole game 1, and then they gave it back in game 4. And I had really no belief that the Pacers are going to win the series after they blew the game Friday night. All right, Tyrese Haliburton obviously playing brave, talking about, if I can walk, I'm going to play in game 6 on Thursday night. Let's hear from Haliburton.
I mean, it's NBA Finals. It's the finals, man. I've worked my whole life to be here, and I want to be out there to compete, help my teammates any way I can. I was not great tonight by any means, but, it's not really a thought of mine to not play here. You know, if I if I can, you know, walk, then I want to play. So, you know, they understand that and, you know, is what it is. And, you know, got to be ready to go for game six.
If he can walk, he wants to play. Well, I think T.J. McConnell was much more valuable to the Pacers last night. 8 for 14 from the field, 18 points. McConnell had 4 assists. He was all over the floor making plays. Eh, he's not a great defender, but, hey, Pacers have a lot of guys who are not great defenders. T.J. McConnell, I thought, should have got more minutes last night on the bench for the first half of the fourth quarter, and Carlisle just left him there. And Pacers did make a big run, cut it to 2. But then they also, at that point, got blown out after Nimhard and Tyrese Haliburton made a series of turnovers. OKC went on a big run to cover the game, win the game and cover 120 to 109. And again, OKC a 9.5-point favorite. Pacers had a shot to cover at the end. And Benedict Mathurin turns the ball over. Right now, if you're a Pacers backer in the last two games, you did not want to hear the name Benedict Mathurin. He had 3 missed free throws, 2 bonehead fouls at the end of game 4 on Friday night when OKC had that incredible cover, improbable, unlikely cover, never should have happened. Benedict Mathurin was mostly to blame for that. And then last night when the Pacers have a chance to get in the back door, he turns the ball over in the final minute, fitting into the game with the Pacers having 22 turnovers last night. We're going to talk more about T.J. McConnell, the Pacers, and look ahead to Game 6. And we'll get a Reds update from Will Hill right after the break.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Quote Tyrese Haliburton, Pacers point guard on Monday night. I was not great by any means, but if I can walk, then I want to play. No, he was not great. 34 minutes, 0 for 6, and 4 points, minus 13 in the plus minus, 120-109. Thunder get the win over the Pacers. T.J. McConnell was great, I thought, for the most part. 22 minutes, he had 18 points, 4 assists, 2 steals. McConnell doing a lot of playmaking out there for the Pacers. The ball movement on the offensive end was better with McConnell, and he shot 1 for 2 from 3. Haliburton was 0 for 4 last night. Benedict Mathurin 1 for 4. Obi Toppin 1 for 5. Andrew Nimhart 0 for 2. Pacers had a lot of guys who were not making shots from 3. And this was the number 1 3-point shooting team in the playoffs going into the NBA Finals. Again, last night, not great from 3. 11 for 30, about 37% from 3. So Haliburton was out there in the fourth quarter. Pacers did make a run. They cut it to 2. Wes Reynolds of VSiN, he was on the show with us last night. Wes Reynolds tweeted from the 7:49 mark when the Pacers were down 5 to the 5:05 mark. Pacers committed 5 turnovers, 3 by Nimhart, 2 by Haliburton, that led directly to 10 points and put them down 15. The game went from 5 to 15 with 5 turnovers by Nimhart and Haliburton in that stretch in the fourth quarter. Wes and I talked a little bit last night after the game, and we were both disappointed that Rick Carlisle. I'm watching the Reds game. Rick Carlisle did not put T.J. McConnell back in, and he left Haliburton out there, left Nimhart out there. Nimhart was almost as bad as Haliburton last night. In some points of the game, he was even worse. Why was T.J. McConnell not back in the game? Let's hear from Rick Carlisle and his explanation.
Well, he was great in the third. Put him in earlier than normal. He was very tired. That's why we got him out. And I think there was a play early in the fourth that where it looked like fatigue it had set in there. And then, you know, Ty was back in, and then that group went on a good run there. So, yeah, it's always a consideration. But I haven't gone through the entire game and completely analyzed the whole thing.
All right, a couple things disturbed me with that clip there, and I was watching it last night when Carlisle said that. One is, how can T.J. McConnell be too tired to play? I realize he didn't get heavy minutes, and he was busting his ass out there last night in the 22 minutes he played. But, Will, How can he be too tired to put him back in the fourth quarter?
Very strange comment. And Carlisle is a guy who you just assume you're basically going to have the upper hand with him as your coach in the coaching department in every series. And I know Dagnall's a good young coach, but Carlisle's got the experience. He's won with different teams, different styles of teams. He's done an incredible job this postseason. So very surprising, the quote, very surprising after McConnell goes off for that sequence, that third quarter, that you saw him as little as he did. And look, give the Pacers credit on one hand, they cut it from 18 to 2. You're probably thinking, man, they're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. I think it was 92-90. And OKC missed a couple of shots at 92-90. That building was tense. They got an offensive rebound. They missed again, another offensive rebound. Finally, they hit a three. The next possession, I think it was Nimhart, throws it backwards. The Pacers guy cuts forwards. Easy scoop and score, a pick six, whatever you want to call it, for Kayson Wallace. And in a blink, he goes from 92-90 in a missed shot from the Thunder to 97-90, and the game was basically over from there, except for, you know, how many they're going to win by and are they going to cover, things like that. Too many turnovers, and a lot of it you got to give OKC credit for. They're just taking the ball. They're very quick. They turn the passing lanes. You know, they turn offense or defense into offense. So you do give OKC some credit. You figure at home, Indy will take care of the ball better. But again, I go back to the game four sequence, being up by 10, only scoring one in the last 320. When you're the lesser team, it's hard enough to win 4 out of 7. You can't win 5 out of 7. You can't give away a game like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to cost them here. And not that I'm looking to lay the 6.5. I think you're on the Pacers plus the points. You've had a very good feel for the series. You've been cashing tickets. You had Pacers in 6. You thought the Pacers would play well and better than most people in the series. You had the under in game 4. So you've had a good feel.
OKC in 6. I think
you're on the right side.
I bet OKC in 6. And OKC in 6. Bet on OKC in 7. I got them in 6 of plus 450 and in 7 of 5-1 odds. And it's not going to bother me that much, Will, if Halliburton does not play on Thursday night, because he didn't help the team in game 5. And if, you know, if he's going to be out there on a hobbled leg, I want to see T.J. McConnell play more minutes. I want to see Andrew Nimhart play better. I want to see Rick Carlisle go to his bench a little bit more and give some other guys a shot. But I think I would expect that Halliburton's going to be out there. He's going to give it a go, and he should be highly motivated because he knows all the criticism he's taken for how poorly he played in game 5. And the last time he was taking a lot of criticism like this, he came back and he played extremely well in game 3 to help the Pacers win that first game at home in this series. The other thing, Will, that kind of surprised me there with Carlisle, because I like him a lot and he's an extremely sharp coach. But at the end of his clip there, he says, "Well, I haven't gone back yet to watch the tape and analyze the whole game." He just stood there on the sideline and watched the whole thing unfold. Why do you have to go back and analyze it again? Isn't that kind of a bizarre comment to you? You just watched it unfold right in front of your eyes, and you can't explain it? Why you didn't play McConnell a little bit more? Why Halliburton was so bad? Those are the type of comments that catch me a little bit by surprise when coach says, "Well, I have to go back and watch the tape." You just watched the game. You're standing right there. How can you not comment on that? How many minutes do you think Halliburton's going to play Thursday night?
Are we sure he's going to play at all? Like you said, if he's going to play like that,
I think he's got to play. It's the NBA Finals. It's game 6. You got a strain. It's a strained calf. You got to play.
Yeah, well, if you're going to, you got to play better than that. If that's what he's going to give him, you know, if he's going to give him in game 6 what he gave him in game 5, you know what? You don't need to be a hero. You don't get any points for being a hero. Here's the thing. Once you put the uniform on and you go out there and you're the tough, "Hey, I'm going to tough it out. My team needs me," which is commendable. You're out there. You're out there. It's hard to not evaluate your performance accordingly. If you say you're healthy enough to go and you're, like you said, you're running up and down the court for 34 minutes, it's not like you need a wheelchair to get around here. You're playing basketball. 0 for 6 with 4 points is just that's your stat sheet. That's your number. And I think the Carlisle thing, you know, that's a situation. These coaches, they don't have an answer. They don't have an answer they can think of. It's just a way of buying time and deflecting and saying, "Well, I don't have an answer right now. I'll just go back and watch the tape," and they, you know, hope nobody asks them about it again. So I think that's a way to get out of answering a question.
Right. That's a good explanation. I know coaches do that all the time. "Well, you know, I don't really want to answer this. I'm going to go back and watch the tape and we'll see." Carlisle is too smart for that. He knows exactly what the hell went down in the fourth quarter. He should not have had Halliburton out there for 34 minutes. Here's another thing. I feel like it's this injury report today. I hate to see stuff like this about the MRI and the calf strain, because it feels like you're just making an excuse for a player who just played a horrible game. And Halliburton was he was horrible. It's one of the worst NBA Finals performances in history. We broke down the numbers earlier in the show tonight with a guy playing 30-plus minutes and being that bad last night. It feels like they're making an excuse for him. But again, last night, the number opened OKC minus 6, bet down to 5 and 4.5. The Halliburton news comes out today. It's bet back up to 5.5, 6, 6.5, and it might touch 7 again. DraftKings briefly went to 7, I think, for 5 minutes today. I'm going to wait. I haven't played the Pacers yet. I'm going to play it at plus 6.5 if I have to, but we'll see if a 7 pops up tomorrow. I would expect that Halliburton's going to be in the starting lineup. If he's ineffective, then Rick Carlisle's going to have to pull him out. You can't be stubborn. If he's not helping the team, you got to pull him out and not worry about pride, not worrying about hurting a player's ego, because you're playing for a championship here. I think the Pacers are going to give it a great, great shot, Will, Thursday night. Halliburton or not, I think it's going to be a tight game in the fourth quarter, and the Pacers are going to have a legit shot to keep this series alive when you get inside the three-minute mark in the fourth quarter on Thursday night. We'll see. You and I will be here calling the action and talking about the live betting aspect of the game. Florida Panthers still up on Edmonton 2-0. 14 minutes ago in the second period. Nice save there by Bobrovsky. And the scoring has definitely slowed down here. Live total is now down to 5.5 under minus 125. Will?
Yeah, and look, the number has mattered a lot in these Pacers-Thunder games. 6.5, I think it closed in a lot of places Friday night in game 4 at land 7. And last night it looked like it was going to matter because 9.5 was the number. And it was 11, and the Pacers had the ball with a chance to backdoor and have it land on 9 or 8. And it didn't look like they were in a position with 20 seconds left like they were going to foul. So reading the market, make sure you get the best number is obviously important when you're betting this stuff. And if you want to know where the money's really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Pretty good deal.
All right, this Twins-Reds game has aggravated me for the last couple hours. There was good news. There was really bad news that Will Hill broke on the air. Now a little bit better news. We're going to get an update on the Reds game. Have the Yankees scored yet? All that and more when we come back on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Aaron Boone is chewing gum, and the Yankees are scoring no runs. That's the update from the Bronx. Since Boone got angry and threw his gum at the umpire on Friday night, the Yankees have not won a game. In fact, the Yankees have not scored since Saturday night. Will Hill, it's now 28 straight scoreless innings. Yankees just came up to the plate in the eighth inning, and they were 1-2-3. They were down so fast, I missed it. Angels back at the plate here in the ninth, and that's the update from the Bronx. Getting pretty depressing. This could be on the verge of being the Yankees' longest scoring drought in terms of innings, Will, since 2016.
It's getting comical, isn't it? I mean, he really... you can't even make it up. No runs, like you said, since Saturday. Oh, my goodness. They scored 2 on Friday. The 3 they scored on Saturday, a couple of them were late. They didn't really light up the scoreboard their last game in Kansas City. So it's been a pretty good offense all year. These things happen in baseball over the course of 162. Slumps happen, but not like this. This is extreme. So I don't know if you saw this. I just sent you the tweet. Fans at Yankee Stadium, understandably frustrated. Judge strikes out, I think, to end the eighth, and they were booing. My hope is they were booing the team. They're booing because they're frustrated. They're not booing Aaron Judge. I know Judge is in a little bit of a mini slump here. You can't be that dumb. Judge is hitting .398 a couple days ago with a million homers. He's been incredible. You guys are lucky. We're all lucky to just watch him play. I know he's got to do it in the playoffs, but if you're booing Judge, just come on. You can't be serious with that.
They're not booing Judge. They're saying Boone. Get rid of Fire Boone. Fire Boone. That's what they're saying. Get rid of Boone. Now, you know what? Some fans in Philly, some fans in New York, some fans of Boston are knuckleheads, and they do boo players like Boone. You know, you see it in Philly all the time. And you see it sometimes at Yankee games. Boone, actually, Aaron Judge was booed early last year. Remember, and he got off to a slow start.
Right.
He was getting booed a lot. And then he obviously got hot and had a hell of a year, but he was getting booed in the first month or two last season when he got off to a slow start. Hey, look, if they're booing, they should boo Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. And Cashman's going to be so upset, Will. He's going to be so upset about this five-game losing streak and this 30-inning scoreless drought that the Yankees might actually fire their assistant hitting coach tomorrow. What do you think? Yeah,
exactly. Huh? That or they'll find a secretary or something to blame somewhere in the organization.
All right, update on the Twins-Reds game. You broke in with some bad news a couple of segments ago. The news is a little bit better now. Reds have bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the sixth. Tell us what's happened here.
I took my eyes off because I was frustrated after the ball was deflected for a homer. I saw it was – I know Cincy has regained the lead here, but I saw that it was
Strikes out. Bases loaded, two outs. Strikes. Reds lead 6-5. Anyway, what happened on that deflected home run? Because I was not happy at that point.
Well, neither was I. I jumped in live with the on the Reds with you, and I was not happy on the deflected homer. I thought it was a bad break. We've had some close ones here at the wall not go our way, but I was even more upset when I checked how the rally started. And this is typical betting baseball. This is why you need thick skin to bet baseball, especially, you know, as many games as there are. Two out, nobody on, 4-1 game, and a routine ground ball in the infield. A throwing error followed by two singles, followed by a deflected home run that was not going to be a home run. Bounces off the outfielder's glove and into the stands for a three-run homer off the bat of Bader. So just like that, a ground ball that's going to get you out of the inning with a clean 1-2-3 inning, up three runs, and all of a sudden you're losing. Reds have regained the lead since, but, man, that is baseball in a nutshell, is it not?
Yeah, 4-1 lead, you have a throwing error, and then all of a sudden it's 5-4 Twins. Reds do regain the lead 6-5, but again, then it's burned, a bases loaded situation there. Two outs, and couldn't tell who was at the plate, but he struck out. So end of six, 6-5 Reds, and that's where we stand. I got a bet on the Reds, a -115. Andrew Abbott, pretty good tonight, Will, but again, two big defensive errors. I'm not sure if that first fly ball to left field was ruled an error or a double, but it should have been an error. That was a routine fly ball that the left fielder dropped at the track. And Abbott pretty good, but the defense let him down tonight. So, again, I feel like he's a bet-on pitcher. The Reds 8-3. And Andrew Abbott's 11 starts this season going into tonight. Reds -115. They were bet up a little bit in the market today. Twins have lost 4 in a row. And the Reds come in off back-to-back wins at Detroit by a combined score of 19-5. Quick update in the hockey game. Florida 2, Edmonton 0, still in the same spot. 9:04 left in the second period. Shots on goal, 18 for the Oilers, 15 for the Panthers. And still waiting on Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl will get going in this game. And I do have Panthers -142 here. Well, one goal can make a world of difference in how you view a game like this, right? If the Oilers can just get on the board and cut it to 2-1, you feel so much differently about a game like this, whether you have the lead or you're trying to come from behind. We saw this Oilers team wipe out a 3-0 deficit. And let's see, that was game four in South Florida and win in overtime. So you know they can come from behind. If you just get a goal on the board, it changes a lot in the way you look at this game, right?
Sure does. If the Oilers can get the next one, it's 2-1, and who knows? You're one away from tying it after that. Meanwhile, if Florida gets the next one here, it's 3-0, and we're basically, you know, just wrapping up when the final score happens, or keep an eye based on the total, and we're just it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind. So, I know you have a bet on Florida, but I'm rooting for the Oilers to to get a goal. I was hoping for a game seven. I was hoping for a competitive game tonight. It looked last week for a time like, who knows, might get a game seven in the NBA and the NHL, which would be great. Now I'm not sure we get a game seven in either one. And I do think I'm convinced here. Well, the Yankees actually have a base runner. I was convinced for a second the Yankees start these innings with two outs and nobody on, but they do have a base runner as they're down to their last out. But yeah, hopefully the Oilers can get on the board here and make this interesting.
Yeah, the Yankees first two batters up went down without much of a fight, and the Yankees do get a single here with two outs. Paul Goldschmidt at the plate, 4-0 Angels. Yankees scoreless inning streak about to hit 29 if they can't get a run in here. And again, the Yankees went off minus 225 tonight. Got to think a lot of baseball bettors probably put the Yankees on a parlay thinking, well, this could be the night against Kyle Hendricks if the Yankees finally stopped their losing streak. Not so fast. Anyway, we'll update you when the Angels finish off the win. How about the Rockies having a little bit of trouble here, Will? We got two outs in the bottom of the ninth. The Rockies are up 10-1. Now it's 10-6, and we got a pitching change for Colorado. The Nationals trying to make an incredible comeback here if they can make it. Obviously, the odds still stacked against them. But 10-6 Rockies, it was 10-1.
Yeah, but problem for Washington. They're down to their final out, too. Colorado's going to the bullpen here. So still need to get a few runners on before you can really put some pressure on Colorado. But yeah, that would be a historic one. Down 9 in the ninth inning. I don't know that that's ever. Oh yeah, that's interesting. Has that ever been done in baseball? Down 9 runs in the ninth inning. I'm sure at some point maybe it's been done, but that would have been a historic comeback. You know, or would be a historic comeback if Washington's able to tack on a few more here. So keep an eye on that. A lot of runs scored, and Colorado's been respectable. You know, speaking of moneyline parlays, if you're just all year thing, all right, I'll just throw whoever Colorado's playing in my money line parlay with, you know, whatever other game, whatever other sport, you know, the Thunder or the Panthers or whoever. It worked for a while, but all good trends usually come to an end at some point. And that's something that has not been successful lately. And with the prices that you're laying, if you're fading Colorado, it doesn't take many of them to get you to quit betting that trend.
That's something I've been saying for years. All good trends come to an end. And, that's the truth. Right now, the Florida Panthers still up 2-0 8 minutes ago. I'd say the Oilers had a couple scoring chances there. Bobrovsky not letting anything in so far. I want to update on the Mets. We've been talking a lot about the Yankees tonight. It's now final. 4-0. Angels over the Yankees. Scoreless streak continues for Aaron Boone's team, but he continues chewing gum, and he'll show up tomorrow doing the same thing. Yankees play. It would be more bad base running, more poor fundamental baseball. The manager sitting in the dugout chewing gum, doing nothing to motivate the team. All right, Mets on top of the Braves, 4-0, bottom of the seventh. Juan Soto homered in the first inning tonight. How about Tyrone Taylor? Double, a two-run double, and a solo homer tonight. Mets on top of the Braves, 4-1, bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, important game for the Mets. The Yankees not the only team in New York struggling. Mets just got swept by the Rays. And big start for Peterson, who's been kind of a clutch pitcher here, kind of a gamer. Complete game shutout last time against Washington. And not just a big game because the Mets are coming off a sweep and Philly's at their heels. They lose Senga to the IL. They lose Tyler McGill to the IL. And who knows, when you lose these pitchers to the IL, rarely is it they miss a couple starts and they're back. A lot of times it's extended absences. They shut them down. I mean, you don't see these pitchers for a long period of time. So Mets losing 40% of the rotation. They get a nice start here from Peterson. A big game for the Braves too, because the Braves, I know we got a lot of games left, but the season doesn't last forever. They're going to have to start making up some ground if they want to make a run here in the National
League. I bet David Peterson against the Dodgers on May 24th. The Mets beat the Dodgers 5-2 in that game. Peterson went 7 2/3. And he's having a nice start again tonight. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. Edgeboost.bet.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Still 2-0 in the hockey game. Panthers on top of Oilers. Will Hill, you said you were leaning toward the under tonight. Did you ever play it?
No, of course not. of course not. I do very well in these bets that I lean to that I don't actually bet. But I was just checking. DraftKings doesn't have it up, but FanDuel does. Something we were talking about before the game started with Chris the Bear Felica, who's got Marshawn 50-1. Conn Smythe Bennett is now minus 330 at FanDuel. Marshawn plus 370. And it drops off a cliff after that. Dreisaitl 33-1, McDavid at 33-1, Bobrovsky at 75-1. So who knows with this stuff? The market, it's not like, you know, the market of a live game or anything. You're just trying to guess the opinions of human beings. Stuff, sometimes this stuff can be wildly inaccurate, but the market at least seems to think that Bennett is in good shape to here to win the Conn Smythe if Florida does win this Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it sure looks like a two-horse race at this point. It would take something close to a miracle at this point for Connor McDavid and the Oilers to come back in the third period of this game and win game seven, and for him to be the Conn Smythe winner, or Leon Draisaitl for that matter. You said what, 33-1?
The Oilers guys are 33-1, Bennett minus 330, Marchand plus 370, and then, you know, Bobrovsky 75-1. Everyone else 100+1, Tkachuk 100-1.
Yeah, it certainly looks like a two-horse race. I don't think things are going to change much here. We got 24 minutes to go in this game. Florida Panthers' suffocating defense has really put the brakes on the Oilers offensively, and Bobrovsky's doing a great job in goal. Things could, who knows, things can get crazy sometimes in the third period, but right now it just doesn't look that way. I just don't get the sense that the Panthers are going to choke this in the third period, Will. This is a veteran team. They won the Cup last year. They can smell how close they are to winning the Cup again. And I got to think the Panthers are going to play this third period pretty tight and do everything they can not to blow this two-goal lead.
Yeah, and it's NBA is different than the NHL. NBA, you know, Hal Burton has a bad game or a no-show. Everyone crushes him, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Is it different in hockey? Is McDavid, is he worthy of some criticism here? Has he not done enough here for the Oilers? I'm asking. I'm not really sure.
I'm not really sure either. I haven't watched this game closely enough tonight, you know, while we've been on the air. And here's the thing. It's not like basketball because you don't have stats to say a guy's 0-6 sure. with four turnovers, right?
Right.
So you don't have the stats to point to. You say Connor McDavid's not getting the job done. He stinks tonight. I think in general, he's done a great job in this series. Just in from what I've been able to watch, he's done a great job setting up scoring opportunities for teammates and playing about to the level you would expect from a guy like this who's a legit superstar. Tyrese Haliburton is not a superstar. I'm tired of that debate. He's an all-star. He's a really good player. He is not a superstar. He's not even close. Connor McDavid's a superstar. He's the best player in hockey. And you would expect him to play like that in the Stanley Cup final. He's only got one goal, but I think he's got five assists. He's done a lot. And, you know, the defense is obviously focused. It's slanted toward him to try to help shut him down as much as possible. He's going to be always going to be a focus of the defense, so it's going to be difficult for him in a situation like this. But you just don't have the stats to point to say that, you know, he stunk like Haliburton stunk in game five for the Pacers. Anyway, 3 minutes to go here in the second period. The shots on goal, 20-16 in favor of Edmonton. Bobrovsky's come up with a couple of good stops that we've seen here tonight. But just doesn't seem like many fireworks on the part of Draisaitl and McDavid at this point in the game. Top of the eighth in Cincinnati. Check in on baseball. Reds up on Twins, 6-5. Yankees go down to the Angels 4-0. That's a final. And Will Hill, where do we stand on this Mets game? I believe 4-1 Mets is still where we stand. David Peterson, who's been really good at times, a lefty, has been really good for the Mets, and he is again tonight.
Yeah, and they're going to need him to, as they are still up 4-1, top of the eighth, two outs, nobody on. Lindor just grounded out. Looks like Pierce Johnson in for the Braves. They're going to need Peterson to be good because, you know, there were questions about the Mets pitching, regardless of the stats, even though the stats were outstanding, it is now 3-0 Florida. So Florida scores again, didn't see who it was.
Reinhardt.
You're going to have to count on.
I believe it's Reinhardt again. I think that's two goals for him tonight and 3-0 Florida. How about this on the DraftKings Live line? Before that goal, I think the Panthers were right around minus 1,000 or a little bit above that. Now it's minus 8,500. Panthers 3, Oilers 0. Moneyline minus 8,500. If you want to take 3.5 goals with the Oilers, that's minus 175. That's a risky proposition because of the possibility of empty net goals. Total now at 5.5, and it's shaded under minus 145. All right, go ahead, Will.
I mean, the Mets are going to count on Peterson because even with the Mets starters performing well, it's a lot of Griffin Canning and Peterson and McGill. Mm. These guys that are fourth, fifth starters you would think of as, you know, middle of the rotation or back of the rotation guys, they've been outstanding. Mets went into the weekend with the best starting ERA in baseball. I know it took a little bit of a hit against the Rays, but they just lost 40% of the rotation in the last 3 or 4 days. Senga on the IL with a hammy and McGill now, I think, with a shoulder issue. So they're going to have some guys needing to fill in, step up. So Peterson, off to a good start in terms of that. 4-1, he pitched a good ball game. So Mets seem to have been a smart bet tonight. If you want to make smarter bets in football this season, start with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm sure, Matt, underbetters, if you bet the under on Saturday night in Game 5 and you, for some reason, bet it again tonight in Game 6, you're starting to get flashbacks, Dane. Oh, no, not again. Please, no.
Yeah, 147 to go here in the second. I know a few people who had the under in that game, and they probably are having flashbacks. Who knows? If you had the under and you got beat there, you probably didn't come back with it tonight.
That's right.
Let's take a quick look at baseball here on the West Coast because we got some games about to start. About 20 minutes away. Padres-Dodgers game 2 of the series. Shohei Ohtani got to start last night, went one inning, a little bit rusty, even though Padres hit a couple of bloop hits and scored a run off him. Not much to make of that outing for Ohtani last night, but the Dodgers do get the win to open the series. Tonight it's going to be Vasquez against Dreyer. Dodgers are minus 210, total of 10. And it's interesting to me that the Dodgers are priced as high, Will, at minus 210, minus 220 I see out there in the market as well. As Jack Dreyer is going to be the starter for the Dodgers. It looks like a bullpen game. Jack Dreyer has appeared in 27 games with 3 starts, 35 innings. So he's going to be basically a 1-2 inning type of pitcher tonight. So a bullpen game for the Dodgers. And they're that big a favorite over the Padres, who are right on their heels in the division. Dodgers right now, minus 220, total of 10. Also, want to mention the Boston Red Sox about to get going in, let's see, did that game already get underway? That game just started. Red Sox and Mariners just started in Seattle. We got the Astros and the A's about to go in West Sacramento. Astros minus 121, total of 11. And that one, J.P. Sears is going to start for the A's. We have Will Hill. The Giants just got underway a couple minutes ago. Robbie Ray going for the Giants. How about this? The Giants are 12-2, and Robbie Ray starts this season. And Rafael Devers is going to make his – he is making his debut for the Giants, Will. And Devers said he will play anywhere the Giants ask him to play. How about that? He's got a positive attitude all of a sudden.
Yeah, when you get traded to a new place, it's just kind of awkward to start going in and making demands. I won't play here. I won't play there. He's going to be the good soldier, at least at first. I think he thinks Boston misled him. Hey, you're not going to play here. Now we need you here. I can't take his side. He seems like a bit of a diva when they're paying you that kind of money. You know what? You play where they tell you to play. It's just kind of ridiculous to be that much of a prima donna. But he can certainly hit. He's going to help that Giant lineup. I don't think he's going to hit as much in San Francisco as he did in Boston. First off, he's not going to have much protection, and that's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cold, it's big, it's very spacious. Fenway is a hitter's paradise, so his stats are going to take a hit, but that guy can hit, and he can hit anywhere. Dodgers-Padres is interesting. When I handicapped this, we had no starting pitchers for the Dodgers, so Dreyer, Humans, Hill, it really didn't matter who the starter was going to be. The Dodgers are going to be a $2 favorite no matter what. Vasquez has been bad. I think we're going to get some runs there. So if I had to play it, I'd play a 10 over, maybe even a Dodgers team total over. Vasquez, the surface stats are good, but he's due for some negative regression. He's gotten hit pretty hard here, the former Yankee.
Dodgers 2-10 favorites in a bullpen game against Vasquez. Total did open 9.5 in a couple spots, but it's 10 across the board. Right now, that game is 15 minutes away at Dodgers Stadium. 3-0 Panthers over the Oilers with 15 seconds to go in the second period. Stanley Cup Final, Game 6. Looks like we will have a champion crown tonight. Back in a couple minutes with the final hour of VSiN Primetime on the Sports Betting Network.